So I'd say growing up, I would have always called myself a Christian, although in quite a shallow and in quite an empty way. You know, I thought I was a Christian from day one. You know, I had no idea what it really meant. You know, I was christened into the Church of England at the age of three and attended an Anglican church in my village until the age of eight, and then attended the Salvation Army Corps in Aylesbury until the age of 17. And as I say, that whole time I would have given myself the label, and that's what it was. It was a label to me of Christian. You know, it's what I would have put on the registration form. You know, when I was signed up at school, my religion was listed as Christian. But I had no idea what it actually meant, or what it really, you know, that it was a religion of salvation. I didn't know that salvation wasn't even something that was on my radar. And as I say, it was a label. That while there were times, and not even short ones either, where I was enthusiastic for religion in some way or another, usually it was quite in quite a narrow sense. It was focused on one thing or the other. And really, by the age of 13, those had all gone. After that, it was all just completely superficial. For the most part, you know, I'd turn up on Sunday, I'd pay no attention, then I'd leave and forget about God until really the same time the next week. That wasn't to say that I did believe in some form of God, but the God I believed in was always one that, you know, was disconnected from, you know, human experience, and that didn't really matter, but was just there, most likely, you know, an idea, if nothing else, something that could be logically deduced. You know, if there's a creation, there's a creator. It didn't really go beyond that, And certainly, the God that I had believed in was one that couldn't really be trusted in, not really one that had any impact on the world in my eyes. You know, I'd pray sometimes when things were hard, but I didn't really do so in a way that, you know, I expected anything to come of it. Yeah, you know, I'd pray then, you know, that wouldn't affect me at all. I'd still continue worrying and still try and find some way of just solving things, you know, completely irrespective of whether I prayed or not. And really much stronger than any religious beliefs, if they can even be called that, that I had, was just a sense of anxiety about, yeah, about the world and about things that were out of my control, and sort of a paranoia and fear of all sorts of irrational things that I was always worried about, you know, even, you know, silly things. Because I always felt that I needed some sense of certainty. Otherwise, I'd always fear the worst, you know, that could happen. You know, I'd always think and fear the worst. You know, unless I felt that I could prove, you know, in my mind that, you know, it wasn't that case. I was, enslaved in many ways to sort of paranoia and anxiety, you know, about world events and about things much smaller than that. You know, things that now, you know, were and are very insignificant, you know, whether I was liked, you know, what people thought of me, that really enslaved me. But all in all, I think the way I describe myself when it came to God was really indifferent, and ignorance. Those were the two main words that could be used to describe it. As I say, Christianity for me was a label. I didn't know that about any meaningful sense of sin, about a need for salvation. I believe that Christ died on the cross, but I didn't really know why. I didn't think it really mattered that it did, that he did. But this indifference and ignorance really changed when my brother, someone, you know, who too had professed the faith without saving knowledge, although fortunately he had gained some more head knowledge than I had in the prior years, was himself saved when he realised his own lost state and when the Lord graciously saved him. And he gave me a copy of the pamphlet Seven Certain Signs by Peter Masters, the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. And although it wasn't a pamphlet that was intended, it was a pamphlet much more intended to help people who are seeking, people who are believers, to judge their own states rather than a booklet that was explicitly evangelical. But it really worked on me because it made me realise what a Christian was, and made me realise I wasn't one. And then my brother told me the gospel. Which then led to the next few months being really a time of confusion, as I was never sure really where I stood. I had prayed to be forgiven. Prayed that I believed in Christ and his sacrifice for me. But I was always uncertain about whether, quote, it had worked. I didn't really understand fully appreciate the fact that it was a work of grace done outside of anything that I could do, outside of any feelings. And I also didn't understand it isn't about feelings, and that Christians aren't instantly perfect or instantly feel the right way about everything. So it led to some months of confusion, where I'd always seen sort of salvation as being being on the other side of a gap that I could never, there was just that bit too large to cross, and which I always felt which I always fell short of crossing. And it sort of led to a type of limbo where I didn't know my eternal state, and was always waiting for things to be right for me to just get that bit further in knowledge to be ready for it. But that changed really on Christmas Day of 2017, where at the Metropolitan Tabernacle's live stream Christmas Day service, right at the end, the pastor addressed those who are seeking and told them really just to stop waiting and to consider, and in terms of stop waiting and considering as to whether the gospel was for them rather than just coming to Christ. When he said that a lost eternity is really like a sword dangling overhead, which wouldn't just go away, that really did resonate with me. I realised at that point I couldn't just keep waiting. The time was now. I realise, of course, salvation is wholly a work of grace, but in a sense, the Lord brought me to realise that, the day of salvation is today. It's not tomorrow or sometime vaguely in the future that I just had to just wait for. So I think that was a day that I could clearly see where I would say that I was saved wholly by God's grace. And that was really the first day that I felt in some way sort of that I had been saved. During my first few months as a Christian, whether I was saved or not wasn't something I could say with sort of 100% certainty. That was something I was more confident about than in those few months before. And I was always concerned, fearful that, nothing had happened, nothing had happened, or that I was spiritually no different from before. But I think the verse that really helped me during any times of uncertainty, during those early months, was from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 37, that whoever comes to Christ shall not be cast out. And, such a cast iron promise really helped just cut through feelings that really stemmed from, feelings that really stemmed from, emotions and from whether, more or less whether I felt really by how I sort of judged myself rather than by what God's word said. And I'd be baptized in the November of that year, 2018. And I can say that, and then since then, and that was at Wigginton Baptist Chapel, which I attended until 2020, and I've been attending here. And during the lockdown, I live streamed the Metropolitan Tabernacle services and have been attending here since March of 2021. And I think I can clearly say that between the time that I was saved and now, that I have seen signs that I've been saved, alongside seeing God's promises for those who come, to Him. I can see very quickly I gained an appreciation of the Bible that I hadn't had before, but which had seemed just dry and irrelevant. Now was living and something that mattered. You know, I was no longer becoming worse and worse morally, but saw victories big and small against, you know, sins that I thought nothing of. Prayer began to matter. And really, I came to see life now for a new lens. All the things that worried me before, all sorts of, you know, current events and political goings on that I'd staked so much on beforehand, you know, it was my something I thought, you know, think about every day, about whether things were going, you know, whether things, you know, in the world were going the way I wanted them to. And if I want, and if they weren't, that would be something that I just wouldn't stop thinking about before. And if things seemed to be going in a bad direction, in a way I didn't like, that, you know, that always made me very much afraid. But since then, I've really been able to see those events and things that go on as being, but you're beneath, you know, a sovereign God. And while that's not to say I haven't been unduly, you know, anxious about global events or things like that, I can honestly say that God's word and his promises, we could only think about what sorts of anxiety people could have over the current international crisis, you know, Ukraine and the various flare-ups that have happened, you know, over Iran or Syria or whatever. But those things, they made me deeply anxious, those sorts of international confrontations before I was saved. But now I can trust on God's word to know that the world would end in his way and according to his plan. And they've put to rest fears that I had in a way that would have once been inconceivable. And I think that's really what I've got to say tonight, but that the Lord has changed me. And I hope that this testimony can offer some encouragement and some help to people here tonight and people watching on the live stream.